Our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 38, found on page 1634 in your pew Bibles. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way, seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?" Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. For he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all are alive." Some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said, teacher." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides and pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot to jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you, how God is calling you to respond so we can pray for you and support you on the journey. And as you get those ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts, but we come seeking you. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at, transform us by your grace, so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. With Thanksgiving approaching, this is a season when we reflect on those things that we're thankful for. I have a lot to be thankful for. My dad recently had his kidney transplant, and I am so thankful to share that the surgery was successful, that both my dad and his donor are recovering well. And my dad wanted to express his thanks to our church for all of your prayers and support. It has meant so much. Thank you. Sometimes it's easy to focus on the things that we're thankful for. Other times, it's not always so easy. In life, we can face challenges, disappointments, heartbreaks, struggles, loss. This is a difficult time of year for many people, when a lot of those challenges bubble up to the surface. In moments like this, it's not always easy to focus on the things that we're thankful for. Yet it's so important to do so. Science shows us that gratitude improves health and sleep and relationships and so much more. And towards that end, I've seen many people take the gratitude challenge. Have you seen that? The challenge is to identify something that you're thankful for every day for a certain number of days, like 21 or 30. And there's a lot of great lists out there to help us think creatively about all that we have to give thanks for. For example, one list asks questions like, what memories are you thankful for? What skills are you thankful for? What smells are you thankful for? We really have so much to be thankful for. Well, today we're starting a new three-part message series titled More Than Enough. It's a unique gratitude challenge. In this series, we're going to think creatively about some of the things that we commonly give thanks for. Things like food, home, family, to expand our vision of all that we have to be thankful for. Before we come back to food, home, and family, I want to start by looking with you at something really big that should top all of our lists of things to be thankful for. This really big thing changes how we see everything else. The big thing was mentioned in our gospel reading. I'm going to introduce it with a call and response that you might be familiar with, just maybe not at this time of year. We'll see how it goes. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Not bad. Well done. So we typically say that at Easter, right? You may have heard of Christmas in July. Well, today we're going to have Easter in November. And we need it, right? We need some warmth in this cold. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The big thing we have to be thankful for is the resurrection. We believe that Jesus died on a cross and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That is huge. That changes everything. Because in life, we can face challenges, disappointments, heartbreaks, struggle, loss. But we have a resurrection God who can bring new life, new hope, new possibilities from even the worst of situations. This is so significant. The early Christians shifted their day of worship from the traditional Jewish Sabbath on Saturday to Sunday, the day when Jesus rose. And we gather every Sunday to celebrate the resurrection and its implications for our lives. We exist as a church so that other people might know the good news. And unfortunately, there's some who do not yet know the good news. There was a group in our gospel reading who didn't know the good news. They were called the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. But the Sadducees were a religious party in Jesus' day that had a lot of wealth, power, and political sway. The only scripture texts that they held as authoritative were the Torah, the first five books of our Old Testament, the law that God revealed to Moses. And since the Sadducees didn't see any evidence of the resurrection in the Torah, they didn't believe in it. In contrast, there was another religious group called the Pharisees, and they believed that only the just, the righteous, would be raised from the dead. Well, the Sadducees didn't like Jesus very much, because he challenged the status quo, which they benefited from. Jesus reached out to the poor and the powerless and those who are on the margins of society. And so the Sadducees looked for ways that they could discredit Jesus. And they found a possible target with the resurrection. Jesus had proclaimed, predicted his own resurrection many times. He said he would be unjustly arrested and killed, and 3 days later he would rise from the dead. So the Sadducees came at Jesus with a very silly question about the resurrection that had stumped the Pharisees, and they hoped would stump Jesus. Speaking of silly questions, I recently learned about dad jokes. Have you heard about dad jokes? So a dad joke, it's a pun, usually a one-liner or a question and answer, and I have a few good ones for you. What do you call an alligator in a vest? An investigator. How did Darth Vader know what Luke was getting for Christmas? He felt his presence. The question posed by the Sadducees wasn't exactly a dad joke, but it was meant to poke fun at the resurrection and to point out how ridiculous it sounded. The scenario they proposed was based on the levirate law. And in Hebrew, the word lever it means brother-in-law. And God had given Moses a commandment that if a woman's husband died, that man's brother was to marry her and take her into his home. And so the Sadducees put together a crazy scenario. They said, all right, imagine there's seven brothers. One brother marries the woman, he dies. The second one then marries the wife, he dies, and so on until the seventh. Okay, Jesus, in the resurrection, whose wife is she, since she was married to all seven? Well, Jesus responded to their question brilliantly. First, he explained that life in heaven is not the same as life on earth. There's no marriage like we think of it here. In heaven, we're all part of God's one big family. And then Jesus gave evidence for the resurrection from the Torah, the five books that the Sadducees affirmed. He said, remember when God spoke to Moses? He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those three guys were dead long before Moses. And yet, God doesn't say, I was the God, past tense. He says, I am the God, present tense, signifying a hope that we can have life beyond death with God in heaven. While this evidence was enough to silence the Sadducees, the greatest evidence Jesus gave was his own resurrection. And his resurrection was better than the one the Pharisees believed in. Because on the cross, Jesus took the punishment for our wrongs so that all people, not just the just, but all people who believed in him could have the hope of forgiveness and eternal life with God where we will not die anymore. When we put our faith in Jesus, he says we become children of the resurrection. The good news of the resurrection, it's not just for the next life. It's for this life as well. You see, we have a God, a resurrection God, who is working to bring new life, new hope, and new possibilities right now. And what's more, God wants to partner with us and work through us. We catch a glimpse of this in the Levirate law that the Sadducees mentioned. The whole purpose of that law was to care for widows and orphans who were extremely vulnerable in that society. God wanted to make sure that they had their needs taken care of, that they had a home and a family. And so God partnered with and worked through his people to bring new life, new hope, and new possibilities. The resurrection, it expands our view of home and family. Because in heaven, there's one big family, God's family. There's no dividing lines whatsoever. Unfortunately, we often see way too many dividing lines in our world today. I was deeply saddened to learn about more acts of racism this past week. One right here in our own community. That is not what God would want. When Jesus was on earth, he tore down dividing lines. He built relationships with people of all races, all backgrounds, all classes. He extended the definition of family to include those who are different, those who are in need. And amidst the tension and trouble in our world, I believe our resurrection God is working right now to bring new life, new hope, new possibilities. And this God is looking for people to partner with and to work through. We find this invitation in our first reading from Haggai. God was doing a resurrection work, and he was looking for willing hands, people to partner with and work through. I'll give you a little bit of context. 66 years earlier, in 586 BC, the Babylonian Empire destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and exiled the people of Israel to live in Babylon. This was absolutely devastating for them. The temple was a symbol of God's presence and activity with the people. It was the center of their political, social, economic life. Their whole hope was uprooted. I wonder, has your hope ever been uprooted? Has anything ever happened in your life that just turned your world upside down and left you reeling? Maybe you lost hope. The people of Israel did. But we have a resurrection God who's able to bring new life, new hope, new possibilities right now. And even though they couldn't see it, God was still working. In 538, Babylon was conquered by Persia. And King Cyrus of Persia allowed the people of Israel to return home and to rebuild the temple. They began in 536. 2 years later, they completed the foundations. Well, surrounding nations like Samaria started to get scared of what might happen if Israel reorganized. And so they actively opposed the work of building. And Israel gave in to the opposition. The work halted for 14 years. By that time, a new king had risen to the throne, King Darius. And though the people of Israel had stopped working, God had not stopped working. God was going to rebuild that temple and was looking for willing hands, people to partner with and work through. And God issues a call to action through the prophet Haggai. The opening line of our reading says, "The word of the Lord came," say it with me,
through
Haggai. So our resurrection God wants to partner with us and work through us to change the world. And Haggai extended this invitation to the governor and the high priest and to all the people. God was going to rebuild the temple and was looking for willing hands to partner with and work through. And although God works through our hands, we don't work by our power alone. Haggai 2, 4 through 5. "But now be strong, Zerubbabel," declares the Lord. "Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land," declares the Lord. "And work, for I am with you," declares the Lord. "This is what I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear." King David spoke similar words to Solomon when he first built the temple. And that same spirit that helped Solomon build the temple would help the people of Israel rebuild the temple. And God's spirit was with them and worked powerfully through them. Haggai was a catalyst for the work to begin again in 520. Opposition arose, but this time King Darius supported the work. And he made their enemies pay for the work with the taxes he collected in their areas. I mean, only God could orchestrate that. The temple was completed in 516. And little did they know, the work that they had done would one day point to the good news in ways they never even imagined. For 500 years later, Jesus would walk through that very temple, healing and teaching and proclaiming the good news of our resurrection God. I believe God is not done yet. Our resurrection God is still alive and active and looking for willing hands to partner with and work through to bring his new life, new hope, and new possibilities. And this is a truth that has been embraced by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Every year, the church issues a call to action titled, "God's Work, Our Hands." We are sent out to love and serve our community. While the work is with our hands, the power is not ours alone. For when we place our trust and faith in Jesus, he says that God's Spirit comes to live in us and work through us. So we can take bold, courageous action, trusting that God's Spirit is the one that will bring new life, new hope, new possibilities for us and for those we serve. And the work that we do will point others to the good news of our resurrection, God. Here's a few powerful examples.
This day is a day of service, a way to be a neighbor to those that we can become neighbors with.
We'll have an opportunity to do some cleaning and pick up around the community.
The team I'm a part of is helping with the meals downstairs.
God's work, our hands, is like God going through your hands to help out the world.
God's work, our hands, is what the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, is about. This day of service has such a great impact.
What it means to be God's work, our hands, is, you know, we're trying to make God's love visible in our community.
different ways. My hands, he's using my hands.
It was just a great feeling to do something for the neighborhood.
It's amazing how this is so contagious that it'll spread.
Many of our ELCA congregations across the country celebrated God's work, Our Hands Sunday, and so we're here serving to the glory of God.
La gente ha podido llevar una bolsa de comida. La gente ha podido sentir amor, ha podido sentir esperanza.
Resurrection God wants to partner with us and work through us to bring new life, new hope, and new possibilities right now. So with this in mind, I'd like to extend a gratitude challenge. At the beginning of the message, I mentioned three things that we commonly give thanks for: food, home, and family. In light of the resurrection, let's think creatively about all that we have to give thanks for. What if we were not only thankful that we have food, but we're thankful that we have the opportunity to provide food for those who are hungry? What if we weren't only thankful that we have a home, but that we have the opportunity to help others find a safe home in a hurting world? What if we're not just thankful that we have family, or for our family, but we're also thankful that we can inspire others to see everyone as family? I'd like to invite you to participate in three ministries in our church that God's Spirit is working powerfully through to do these very things, and we'll close with these three. The first ministry is Loaves and Fishes. Loaves and Fishes started as a food pantry. Did you know that 1 in 5 in DuPage County is living in poverty or in low income? This is an 82% increase since the year 2000. Loaves and Fishes serves more than 800 families every week. Last year, they served 20,000 individuals, 8,000 of whom were children. And their program is bigger than just reliable access to nutritious food, and it includes programs covering emergency assistance, car donations, job search assistance, emotional counseling, and financial classes. And God is working through this ministry to bring new life, new hope, new possibilities. One day I was serving at the Loaves and Fishes grocery mart with a fellow chaplain from the police department, and he shared with me that he had gone through a difficult time in his life and had to go to Loaves and Fishes for food himself. And that program helped him through his difficult time, and now he likes to give back, pass it on, and help others who are struggling. And you can volunteer, you can donate, you can sign up to be part of their virtual food drive on their website. So many opportunities to get involved. The second ministry is Bridge Communities. Bridge is a transitional housing program that helps homeless families gain independence. Their program provides housing, counseling, transportation, and the key, mentoring, in important life skills like budgeting, parenting, home maintenance, decision-making, studying, employment. Good Shepherd is currently supporting one family by covering the cost for the entire 24-month program and providing mentors who can meet with the family every week. And God is using this ministry to bring new life, new hope, new possibilities. One of our members who works at Bridge told me the story about Marissa. Marissa had a very traumatic past. Her parents were addicts. When she was in her teens, she got involved with an abusive boyfriend who became the father of her 3 young children. But it was through faith in Jesus and the power of the Spirit that Marissa was able to get out of her situation, find Bridge, remain drug and alcohol free, do the hard work of the program to improve her life. And recently, Marissa graduated from Bridge, and she's living in an apartment that she's paying for all on her own. Her kids are going to a good school, She has a job that she loves, that values her gifts, and has opportunities for advancement. Bridge Communities is looking for people who can be mentors for their client families. Then the third ministry is Hesed House. Hesed House is the second largest homeless shelter in Illinois. Veterans Day is on Monday. Did you know that the fastest growing group of homeless in our area are veterans struggling with PTSD? Good Shepherd provides food as well as volunteers that help serve meals and assist with shelter. Matt Hebel is a member of our church that helps coordinate the volunteer effort with his siblings. Matt's children are too young to serve at Hesed House, but they often will bake cakes and cookies for the meals. He says food is a need, shelter is a need, but really the biggest need is human interaction, dignity, respect. Matt recalls a teenager from our church who served at Hesed House. And after they had got done finishing serving dinner, the teen got a plate of food and went out to eat with the guests. And Matt said that young servant showed him something that he needed to see. That if Jesus was there, he would be out sitting with the guests. And God is using this ministry to bring new life, new hope, new possibilities. There was one woman who had been with Hesed House for a long time, and now she's back on her feet, and she comes back to prepare food for the volunteers that are serving. She wants her kids to see the importance of giving back. We have an opportunity to serve at Hesed House next week, and there's another opportunity in January. After service, you can go right to the table where Hesed House is set up to learn more information. And if you'd like more information about any of the ministries that I mentioned or other ministries, just jot me a note on your response card, and I'd be happy to follow up with you. So this season, as you give thanks for things like food and home and family, keep in mind that our resurrection God wants to partner with you, work through you, to provide food, shelter, and connection for all of his people. Let's take the gratitude challenge. Amen. The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. You can put your response and then either put it in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. You can also use the code at the top to fill it out with your phone. We're going to give you some time with God and then close us in prayer.